For 50 years, one man has brought you the plain truth and let the chips fall where they may. And now, Garner Ted Armstrong.
All your life you've heard it. When we get to heaven, when the saints go marching in, heavenly mansions, heavenly skies, you've heard it and heard it and heard it. All kinds of hymns, all kinds of songs, much of religious music. So many thousands of sermons are preached every single Sunday morning, and the televangelists on television continually talk about going to heaven. There are some really, I think, rational questions that ought to be asked about this time. Since the Bible is a book that talks allegedly about heaven and hell, about good and bad, about God and the devil, and since it says so much about this life, and this life is like just a flicker of an eyelash in time, and heaven is stretching out to eternity. If I could reach for several football fields as opposed to that, I would show you, but I can't do that. But you would think that somewhere in the Bible, which purports to be the Word of God, and I think it is, I know it is, that there would be incredible descriptions of what goes on in heaven, of what happens, like the third day, the third week, third year, in heaven. Now, before I get into some of those questions that I think they're quite logical, some of them may even prove to be a little bit facetious or humorous, let me tell you what I have for you. A tape, The Third Day in Heaven. Have you ever heard a sermon telling you what you'll be doing the third day in heaven? After you move into the mansion, what happens next? And also a booklet, Heaven on Earth? Because believe it or not, even though we name places like Heavenly Valley, or we say it's a heavenly scene, or she is a heavenly person, whatever, believe it or not, the Bible says that we are going to go to heaven, but heaven is not in a location that you think. Heaven is in a far different location than you think. And believe it or not, places like Togoland and French Guinea and places like Dahomey and Niger and Burundi and Rwanda and even places like Mogadishu are going to be heavenly at some time in the future. And I'll explain that, and I'll use scripture to back it up. This is free of charge, a very intriguing sermon delivered before a live audience about the third day in heaven and some of the questions that are quite logical that ought to be asked, and also the booklet, Heaven on Earth? Free of charge, no price, if you dial 903-561-7070. We'll repeat that several times during the program. What happens when you move into your heavenly mansion? Is it furnished? Do you have the need to sit down? Is there a bed? Is there running water? Are there indoor facilities, or do you need those anymore? And if you don't need those, why do you need a mansion? If there's a mansion, does it have doors and windows? How close is it to your neighbor? And do all the mansions look exactly alike? Are they the same height, same roof line, constructed of the same materials, gold as far as you can see, just endless gold heavenly mansions, every one of them with a heavenly Cadillac parked outside. Everything same old, same old, same old. Everything is same. Nothing is different, no variety. Will there be TV? Will there be video games? Will Witchblade be playing on heavenly television? What do you do all day? Will there be basketball and soccer? Will there be televised sports? Or can you just lie there? Do you stand? Do you sit? Do you waft around? What do you do? You know, if you've ever been to parties or like a receiving line or like a wedding reception, and everybody is happy, 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 and you smile and you smile and you smile. Have you ever had your smile grow tired? Have you ever got to the point to where your cheeks were hurting? You're going like this all the time, and finally, hello, Mr. So, and you just want to sit somewhere and look sober and serious and meditate. Now, what you hear from the gurgling, chortling, happy-go-lucky preacher types who look like a little baby of three just having had his pablum is that everything is going to be just wonderful and happy and bliss and just unending bliss of every kind, and you just can't imagine how joyful and how wonderful it's going to be. Well, that's fine. And I agree with that as far as it goes, if you crank in what I'm about to show you out of the Word of God and where heaven is really going to be and what happens when you get there. What about visiting Earth or other planets? Do souls have hair? Do souls have a nervous system? Because unless they do, they can't feel anything if they go to hell instead of to heaven. Right? I mean, these are logical. Now, Christ said to his disciples at his famous Last Supper that he would not drink of the fruit of the vine. And the Bible does say that it's oinos, and oinos is wine. And no matter what some of those that say you must drink only grape juice say, the Bible does say it is wine, believe it or not. That's why Christ was called a wine bibber. He was not called a grape juice bibber. But nevertheless, he said, I will not partake of the fruit of the vine again until I partake it with you in my Father's kingdom. Are there grapevines in heaven? Is there wine? Will there be wine drinking in heaven? Or did Carrie Nation get there first? Are the Protestants going to impose upon you blue laws in heaven, for pity's sake? Now think about it, because all of this is absolutely logical. Let me tell you what most people don't want out of life on this earth. They do not want cold, extreme hot. They don't want pain. They don't want suffering. They don't want aches. They don't want disease. They don't want frustration. They don't want futility. They don't want unhappiness. They don't want broken hearts. They don't want demented minds. They don't want disfigured bodies. They don't want handicaps. They don't want any of that. What we do want is, first of all, good health, a long life, lots of time to enjoy it. We want to feel prosperous and abundant. We want to have good weather, the temperature just right. We want to have decent clothing and more than just a roof over our head, some of the nice luxuries that go along with it. We want to have joy. We want to have happiness. We want to be loved. We want to be understood. One of the greatest comforts that we can have is when we have problems, we have someone we love very much who will listen to us as we tell about our problems, and who will not only sympathize, but who will empathize, which goes way beyond sympathy, who is just feeling the same pain and the same frustrations that we are and trying to help us with it. What do most people have in life? They have the former. The aches and pains and cuts and bruises, all of the heartache, all of the headaches, all of the things that they really don't want are what most people are reaping and harvesting on this earth. A few more logical questions. Are there women's rights in heaven? Are there gay rights in heaven? Are gays in heaven as well as those who are called gay bashers? There is a website, I heard about a call-in talk show just today. As a matter of fact, I was coming back from a project and I turned on the radio and I always listened to one of the local, I think it's nationally syndicated, call-in talk shows on WBAP in Dallas-Fort Worth. And the gentleman was saying that there is a website somewhere, I won't tell you what it is and how to get there, I don't want to get there myself, of one of these gay bashers who was saying there are no fags in heaven. Well, you can take that up with him, but that was his opinion. But there are lots of people who believe that is not true. And there are people who believe that there are all of these types in heaven. So I've dealt with this for the past, oh, I don't know how many decades. And the question that I put to people recently as a result of 9/11 is, since the Islamic fundamentalists believe that they are going to be in their version of heaven, and since they believe the way they get there is by murdering as many of us as they possibly can, and the next instant, there they are, when you get there, if that's where you're going, are they going to be there? And will it all be lovey-dovey? Will everybody just lay aside all their political and religious differences and philosophic differences? No xenophobia, no racism, none of these things in heaven. Everybody will just be embracing one another and have nothing but the greatest hail fellow, well met, good fellowship, everybody loving everybody in heaven above. Question. Since the most famous scripture you've ever heard of, the one they hold up behind the golf tee when he's teeing off, the one that you see in sports arenas, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Those are two opposites, but most people don't think of that. Just back up three verses in your Bible, will you, someday, and then try to expound and explain it to yourself and understand it. It says in John 3:13, I quote, and no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in or from heaven. Well, then what about limbus patrium? What about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? What about Elijah and Elisha? What about the transfiguration? What about Moses and Daniel? What about Job and David? What about all of these people who died Well, the answer to that is found in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. They are all listed there. A litany of God's righteous men and women. Deborah and Barak, time would fail me to tell, it goes on, of all of those people who have been martyrs for God. And it said, these all died, quote, not having received the promise. Now, question, what are these scriptures doing in the Bible? They are there in your Bible. If you grab a pen or a pencil and jot them down, look them up later. I'm going to go over them rather quickly. I may not have time to quote every single verse of these passages, but I'll give them to you. Matthew 5:5, a short one. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What are you going to do with that? Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Is it that Christians are supposed to be anything but meek? Well, that would be stupid, wouldn't it? Because Christ is saying, you should be meek. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What is that? Spiritual salt and pepper? Doesn't mean it. It's just biblical metaphor of some kind. You're sort of sitting there in heaven, but you've inherited the earth. It'd be a lot more fun to be on the North Island of New Zealand with ski boards on your back. It says, Revelation 5:9-10, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. So this is showing a vast multitude of every color, every race, of every group of people on the face of the earth, exalting to God and saying, verse 10, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Revelation 5:10. Revelation 2:26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, whether that's the end of his life or the end of the age, to him will I give power over the nations. Now, the United Nations, the United States, different countries here and there, agglomerations, groupings, or coalescences of countries, seek to put what they call hegemony or influence or power over other nations. We would like to have the power right now to oust Saddam Hussein and put in a new and a different government. We are exercising that power in as much as we can in a limited way because our reach is not quite as far as we think it is. And there are a lot of little pockets over in Afghanistan where Al-Qaeda and some of these organizations can hide out and try to hinder the new government under Karzai. But nevertheless, we would love to have power over the nations of this earth and to bring them around to the right way of life, the way of productive life, the way of happy life and peace. But that's not going to happen until Jesus Christ makes it so. But here's that very important scripture. This, you might say, is the most definitive promise that any of us could receive from Jesus Christ of Nazareth about what happens when we receive salvation. What happens when we repent, we are baptized, and receive God's Holy Spirit? Quote, to him that overcometh, he that overcometh, and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken in shivers, even as I received of my Father. Let's take a look at a couple, three more when I come back. I want to show you again what I have for you. It's absolutely free of charge. These questions I have asked about what happens in heaven are very logical. They're rational. We are thinking human beings. We're human beings who enjoy this human physical life. And we look forward to a long life and a fruitful and productive life, not a very short, miserable one brought to a very quick and deadly end by some kind of a horrible disease. So take a look at this and be sure to pick up that telephone and get this material. It's free of charge, and I'll be right back.
All the big churches teach that if you're good, you get to go to heaven when you die. Is that what the Bible says, or is the truth something entirely different? Get your copy of the booklet, Heaven on Earth, and the tape that asks, what will you be doing on the third day in heaven? Both are free of charge when you call 903-561-7070.
Let me give you some more of these scriptures that shouldn't be in the Bible. Now, I'm saying they shouldn't be in the Bible facetiously because I'm really showing the point of view of an awful lot of people who swallow the traditional line, who don't really read or study the Bible. They're merely swallowing hook, line, and sinker what they got from childhood in church, and they believe they have an immortal soul, and they believe they're going to heaven or to hell. Well, they believe they're going to heaven when they die. So I'm saying that from their standpoint, to suddenly discover these scriptures that I'm relating to you And finding out they're in the Bible is going to be a real conundrum, a real puzzle to them. What in the world? What is this all about? And why is it there? Isaiah 2, 2-4. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Eternal's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, biblical metaphor for governments or nations, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. That's never happened yet. They're still fighting over the holy places in Jerusalem. All nations are not flowing unto one central place. It is called the house of the Lord, the house of the eternal God. And many people are on earth, not up in heaven, shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the eternal, the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion, oh boy, what do the Islamic fundamentalists think about that scripture? Shall go forth the law and the word of the eternal from Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is going to be the headquarters of the kingdom of God. Right now, Yasser Arafat wants it. The Jews have it, and all nations are basically squabbling over it. The three monotheistic religions, certainly. It goes on to say in verse 4, he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. You can read tanks into tractors if you wish, and their spears into pruning hooks, assault rifles into rakes and hoes. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Beautiful scripture. There will not be a war college as there is right now in our military. Isaiah 11, 4-9, but with righteousness, talking about Christ, shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. The last thing in the world, an awful lot of people who do not believe in capital punishment would ever be willing to accept. And yet Jesus Christ of Nazareth is depicted in the 19th chapter of Revelation, beginning in verse 11 to the end of that chapter, as coming at the head of conquering angelic armies that are literally going to do what it says here, with the breath of his lips, in other words, by his divine fiat, by a divine command. He will slay the wicked. You know, there are people who are literally wicked. There are people on this earth who are just plain evil. Now, no redeeming qualities to their character at all. There have been a lot of them in the past, all the way from Attila the Hun to Adolf Hitler, and all the way from Pol Pot to Joseph Stalin, and men like Saddam Hussein. A little book that was published that I got shortly after the Gulf War about his entire life claimed that he killed one of his military officers by slowly lowering him into an acid bath and watched while the guy died in agony. There are people on this earth who are wicked and who are evil. Now, you know, a lot of people will actually wail and weep and wring their hands and wear the hair shirt and breast beat and all the rest, carry the placards, march outside of the death cell where they're going to put some child killer, some serial murderer to death. All that aside, God's word stands on its own. It is the truth of God, it is the word of God, and it is going to come to pass. It is going to blossom to fruition. It is going to take place. It's going to occur. Not a question to argue over. All you got to do is wait and see. It doesn't matter whether I believe it or not, by the way. I could be doing the opposite of what I'm doing and be doing television program. Probably a lot of people would watch. If all I did is impugn and ridicule the Bible, tell you it is not the word of God, tell you Christ isn't coming, I could take the opposite view of what I do from what I have been taught, what I have seen and read and studied in the Word of God these more than 45 years, and I could be impugning and ridiculing it. I could be a spokesman for evolution. I could be an eloquent spokesman for all these various liberal movements in the United States if I wished. I don't so wish, and the point I'm making is that my opinion doesn't count. And neither does yours. And I'm not going to say very much about the meaning of what is, except to say this: what is, according to the Word of God, truly is. The Doris Day song, Que sera, sera, means what will be, and neither you nor I can change that. So the prophecies of the Bible are going to come to pass whether we like it or not. And all I'm commissioned to do is to tell you that. to tell you what the Word of God says. And I'm trying to do that every single week and every day, as far as that's concerned, to the best of my ability. It goes on to say here that he will, with the breath of his lips, slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. Where is that? Up in heaven, wolves and lambs running around? No, it's on the earth. It says so. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. They always try to show a lamb with a lion. It doesn't say that. It says the leopard with the lion. But nevertheless, the cow and the bear shall feed. The young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. So even carnivorous animals, rapacious predators, are going to be changed. Their nature is going to be changed. The nursing child shall play at the hole of the asp or the puff adder. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den, or that is, the den of a poisonous snake like a rattlesnake, and the snake is harmless. They, these animals of today are predators, shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the eternal as the waters cover the sea. When? When does this happen? Well, it says, in that day his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, Zechariah 14:4. Why are there so many scriptures in your Bible saying that God's kingdom is going to be set up on this earth, and why is there not a single description anywhere from Genesis to Revelation about the size, shape, materials used of your mansion, where it is located, what happens when you move in, what happens on the third day in heaven, what happens at the third week? What about the 30th year? Do your cheeks get tired of smiling? What about the 300th year in heaven? Now, I want to tell you what God says about his desire. This will blow your mind. Almighty God, for all of the sin and the crime and the violence and the chicanery and the evil deeds and the lying and the cheating and the vanity and the jealousy and the greed and all these rebellious attitudes of human beings who can descend way below any self-respecting animal, because animals don't act like we do. For all of the evil in this world, Almighty God desires to dwell with us. We are his creation. We are his children. Let us make man in our image. He doesn't want to dwell with us yet, because he can't stand us the way we are. But he does want us to be completely changed, not only from our predatory, hostile, vain, jealous, egocentric, warlike, stiff-necked, hard-hearted, adamant attitudes. He wants to change those attitudes into the pliant, very innocent, wonderful, trusting attitude of about a 1.5-year-old child. Jesus Christ picked up little children. He said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. And that any man who does not receive the kingdom of God as this little child is not going to receive the kingdom of God. In other words, he's going to change, if you will let him, and he will do that for you if you will let him, he's going to change human nature. When human nature is changed, when human nature is replaced by the spirit and the nature of God, then human beings can be the most wonderful, lovely, charming, engaging, desirable people you'll ever meet. It can be absolutely fabulous to know and to associate with someone who is deeply converted, who has empathy, and who cares for you. Jesus Christ was never so privileged. During his entire ministry, he was never able to sit down and eat a meal with a converted man, because none of them were converted yet. That's why he breathed on Peter as a breath of wind, as indicative of the Holy Spirit. He said, when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. But Jesus Christ of Nazareth says very clearly that when he comes to this earth, that is preparatory, and there will be a 1,000-year reign or rulership of Christ, and after that time, an 1,100-year period according to the Bible, guess what? God the Father himself is going to come to this earth and take up residence here. I'll show you those scriptures when I come back. But first, you be sure to take a look at this and get this material free of charge, and I'll be right back.
All the big churches teach that if you're good, you get to go to heaven when you die. Is that what the Bible says? Or is the truth something entirely different? Get your copy of the booklet, Heaven on Earth, and the tape that asks, What will you be doing on the third day in heaven? Both are free of charge when you call 903-561-7070.
Look up Revelation 21, 2-4, and also read the entire 21st and 22nd chapters, the last two chapters of the Bible, there in your own home. It says, beginning in verse 2, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And it also says in a 22nd chapter, the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. I imagine you didn't know that. That the Bible at wrap-up time, when it concludes, it begins with the beginning, Genesis, that's the meaning of the book, and it ends with the revelatory experiences and visions that John saw that reveal how it's all going to wrap up. And the last two chapters of the Bible talk about the kingdom of God on this earth and the new heavens and the new earth and the reign of Christ on the earth and eventually God the Father coming to the world that Christ has prepared for him. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Mogadishu looks like part of Iowa? Won't it be wonderful when Afghanistan looks like southern Illinois? Won't it be wonderful when Malawi or maybe Burundi looks like Wisconsin? Won't it be wonderful when all the high precipitous mountains that are inhospitable for human habitation are brought down to little rills and hills and valleys and brooks and people are living upon them? Won't it be wonderful to live in a world of no war, no disease, no crime, no theft, no lies. I guess that means we'll have to get rid of the politicians. Also, no preachers. Matter of fact, the Bible says there won't be anybody there who will say, Know the Lord, because every man will know him face to face. The Bible and what it teaches is just a lot different than you've been told most of your life, and a lot of people don't want to admit that, but you need to get this material and find out, because it is very, very wonderful information. There's nothing wrong. You know, you can call it some kind of a hopeful dream if you want to, but that would be wrong. It's the truth. Get this one about the third day in heaven. Some logical questions that ought to be asked by rational, logical people about the things that you've been taught all of your life. And also, heaven on earth. It goes through the entire subject that I brought up here, and you have a chance to read it and to underline it, to study it, to mark your Bible, look up every single scripture, and try to find out whether it's true or not. All you've got to do is to dial 903-561-7070. As you know, it's absolutely free of charge, as all of our literature and our tapes and booklets are and have been for these 45 years. 903-561-7070, and I'll see you here in 1 week.
All the big churches teach that if you're good, you get to go to heaven when you die. Is that what the Bible says, or is the truth something entirely different? Get your copy of the booklet, Heaven on Earth, and the tape that asks, What will you be doing on the third day in heaven? Both are free of charge when you call 903-561-7070.